Let's discuss the Psukim of Hashavas Aveda in Parshas Kisetze, very beginning of Perek Chof Beis. So it's just three Psukim here, but the same mitzvah is mentioned earlier as well in Parshas Mishpatim, in Sefer Shoftim, in Sefer Shmos, in Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Dalet. So here the Psukim tell us, you shouldn't see the ox of your brother or his sheep nidachim wandering. And you should not ignore them. You should return them to your brother. Then the pasuk tells us, if your brother's not close to you, you don't know who he is, you should take the animal into your home. So it should be with you until your brother comes looking for it, until he claims it. So well, then you return it to him. And then the pasuk concludes, last pasuk in these three psukim, so you should do to his donkey, so you should do for his garment, so you should do for any object of your brother that he loses and you find. Lo suchal hisalem, you are not able to hide your eyes from it. Okay, so the Ramban, at the very outset, deals with the fact that this mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda has already been mentioned once in Parshas Mishpatim, now it's been mentioned again in Parshas Kisetze. So Ramban says, well, in Parshas Mishpatim, the pasuk spoke of Kisifga Shor Oyivcha, when you see the ox of your enemy, To'eh. The word To'eh means wandering. And here the pasuk speaks of the ox of your brother, nidachim. So the Ramban suggests that the need for these two different psukim discussing the same mitzvah is really based on that distinction between to'eh and nidachim. Meaning, says Ramban, to'eh means that it's just slightly off its path, and you can easily just push it back on where it's supposed to be. Whereas nidachim, he says in this week's parsha, implies it went far astray, far off, and it takes much more effort and much more of a tircha to get it back to where it's supposed to be. And therefore the Ramban says, the chiddush of this parsha's discussion of mitzvah is that even if it's going to cost you much more time, much more effort, much more aggravation, still have an obligation to take care of it. And Ramban says that is also what the pasuk stresses when it mentions the chen tasel is similar. So for a person's garment, even though a garment is less significant, not as expensive, so it's easier to justify, who cares if he doesn't find it? Still, you have to turn that as well. And kol aveda sapicha, says the pasuk, anything he loses, no matter how insignificant, how cheap it might be, you still have to return that as well. That's how the Ramban reads these psukim in a ascending order. And not only when the animal in Parshas Mishpatim is just slightly off the road, it's very easily done, but even here where it's far off and it takes much more time, much more effort, you still got to take care of it. And not only an expensive object, but even a garment, even a lesser object of value, also requires the same effort and the same chiyuv of hashava. Okay, so this is the Ramban's opening discussion of this mitzvah here and in Parshas Mishpatim. So Nechama Leibowitz in her sefer suggests that the thrust of this discussion here in the parsha is all about not just passive. Okay, I'll see an aveda, I'll pick it up, I'll keep it in my house until somebody comes looking for it. But along the lines of the Ramban, that this parsha is discussing not just to'eh, but even nidachim, the purpose and the lesson in this week's parsha's discussion of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda is the Torah is trying to tell us that there must be an active concern, an active, proactive involvement in caring for one's aveda. It's not just, okay, no problem, put it in my house and keep it there. No, it's got to be a proactive caring for someone else's property. And she says that is seen in Chazal very clearly in their interpretation of this psukim here, because the pasuk says, in that very first pasuk, it says, Hashev tishivim lachicha, you should return it to your brother. So the Gemara picks up Hashev tishivim, why the double repetition? Hashev tishivim, you should return it. Just say tishivim. So the Gemara says, Hashev tishivim implies even numerous times. You find it, it runs away. You find it again, it runs away. You have to keep on doing it even numerous times to be mekayem mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So again, the idea being that there must be not just a passive okay, I'll put it in my house, whatever happens, happens. It's got to be a proactive pursuit of assisting somebody else.
Let's say the owner is negligent.
The owner meaning the
rightful
owner.
Runs away. It's funny, he runs away from your house.
Ah, but he doesn't
care about it.
He doesn't care about it.
Uh-huh. You're
gonna be... As if it's his fault that keeps on getting lost. It's a good question. I mean, there's a category of aveda midas, somebody willingly, loses something, where you obviously that's considered, you don't have the obligation to return it.
He keeps his gate open, the animals come constantly.
Right, but he's a pasheah. So is that the gather, and he doesn't care about it, I don't have to worry about it myself? Interesting question.
He doesn't care. He knows that you're going to return it.
Mm.
He knows you're a do-gooder.
Right. He's taking advantage of you. Interesting question. So is that considered an aveda midas that you have no obligation to return it because he doesn't care about it? Good question. I don't know. Take a look. It's a good question.
Isn't there a halacha that you have to treat it better than he would treat it? Like, if it's an item, like, you have to make sure it's, like, protected.
So the Gemara talks about, you have to care for it and ensure that no loss comes to it. So Medrash that speaks of a Pimchas Ben Yair, who, found someone's barley that had left with him and forgotten about it. So he kept replanting it every year and just kept producing more and more crops of barley for 7 years and just kept storing it each successive year. So the guy remembered, oh, my barley is there. He comes back and he finds it, and he says, oh, here's your silo full of grain. So the idea being that, it's not just to watch it, but there's a need to be proactively involved in caring for it and furthering its growth. Rashi quotes that if it's going to cause you, be too costly to care for it, you're not allowed to, spend the money caring for it and then charge him for it when he comes back for it. You have to sell it in exchange for something which is less costly to maintain so that you maintain its value for the owner, right? Right, that's Rashi quotes here, right.
So like if it's an animal, you don't have to keep it in your backyard and feed it and whatever.
Right, so the Gemara speaks to that, animal, right, you can sell it in exchange for something, what?
It's going to cost too much to have.
Right, you can sell it in exchange for something else which is less, less costly to maintain. That way you preserve the value of the object for the owner and you're not going to be incurring, at his expense, numerous more charges, in the process of caring for it. Okay, so that's the Ramban's that points out is the same idea as we see in the Ramban that this parsha is all about being practically involved in doing and in caring for someone else's property. It then quotes an interesting pshat from the Alshich. The Alshich. And his parish on this mitzvah writes the following. The very opening pasuk. Lo sira, you're not allowed to see your brother's ox or sheep, nidachim, wandering off, v'hisalamta mehem, and ignore them. So what does v'hisalamta mehem imply? V'hisalamta mehem. So the Alshach says that what the pasuk means is, lo sira, you're not allowed to see your brother's ox and sheep, and the hisalantim have you not allowed to do what human nature would normally be to do, which is, oh, forget about it. Right? It's so easy and so natural, you see in Aveda, just to pass it on over and say, who wants to deal with it? Now, precisely because we have this chiv in this psukim to go above and beyond and to be proactively involved in caring for an Aveda, so that's why it's all the more natural for someone to say, I'm just going to ignore it, overlook it, forget about it. So the hisalantim have, Al-Shaf says, is telling us that's what your instinct would be to do, don't do that, don't ignore it. But he then reads a very interesting lesson to the psukim. He says, if I'm successful in overcoming that first inclination of the hisalamta mehem, if I abide by that first command in the Torah of don't be misalim, don't ignore it, what's going to happen then? He says, hashe tishivem l'achicha. So first you'll return it, because God says return it. Okay, I'm not allowed to ignore it, I'll have to return it. But the double lashon, he says, Hashev tishivem lachicha, implies that if you succeed in listening the first time, not ignoring it, and returning it, then Hashev tishivem, you'll bring yourself to return it a second time. Meaning, it's the first time that the challenge is the worst. It was the first time you confront this challenge of the mitzvah, of, oh, do I have to really deal with this aveda? Can I just ignore it and forget about it and go on by? That's the most difficult challenge. But once you succeed in not ignoring it, then hashef tishivim. Once you return it the first time because I'm forced to because God says to return it, then it becomes easier to return it the second time a little more naturally, a little more because you're motivated on your own to do it. And he says, why does the Torah then later speak of not just ox and donkey, but even simla, even garments? So along these same lines, the Al-Shef says, because when you're dealing with the challenge of can I ignore this aveda, or do I have to deal with it? So what are you more likely to be sensitive toward and care about more?
An
animal. Poor animal. You know, he's hungry, he's tired, he doesn't know how to get back home. So you know, you're more likely to be motivated to care for somebody's animal that's lost. So the Al-Shef says, that's why the Torah first says, don't ignore the animal. And then it says, and so you should do for the simla also, for his jacket that he forgot somewhere. Now, no one's going to care as much about a jacket as they would for a lost little puppy. So the Al-Shef says that the Torah is telling us is that if you succeed in not ignoring and in returning this aveda when it comes to animals, that will encourage you and enable you to take it a step further and to do the same mitzvah even when it might be naturally more difficult to do it. It's a simla, it's just a garment. And finally, he says, the last phrase in those three psukim, Lo sucha lehis alein. It's a very, very strange phrase. Why? Meaning, first of all, it's interesting to note that the pasuk begins, Parakot Beis Pasuk Aleph. If you want to come, actually, I should talk about this to you. There's, the first pasuk speaks of the salam to mehem, that you're not allowed to ignore the aveda. And then the third pasuk, which concludes the discussion of the mitzvah, also says lo suchal hisale. You're not able to ignore it. So Torah stresses twice. You know, bis alam to mehem, don't see your friend's animal and ignore it. And it concludes at the end of the three psukim with lo suchal hisalem. You're not able to ignore it. So first of all, why does the Torah repeat it twice? It starts off by saying don't see your friend's animal and ignore it, and it concludes by saying you're not able to ignore it. Why the repetition? And number two, the concluding phrase is very strange. Lo suchal hisalem. What should it have said? Lo tzitzalem. Don't ignore it. Right? When the Torah says don't do something, it says lo tzitzach, lo tignor. Don't murder, don't steal. It doesn't say you're not able to. It says just don't do it. And here it says lo tuchal hasalem. You're not allowed. You're not able to. Not allowed. It's not that. It doesn't say not allowed. It says you're not able to ignore it. So what's going on here? So the Al-Shef says that what the Torah is telling us is again along these same lines that the Torah begins by saying, you know, your natural inclination would be to ignore it. Don't do that. And then as it goes on in the psukim, the Al-Shef says if you succeed in returning the object once, you'll have an easier time doing it the second time. If you do it with a dog, you'll eventually be able to do it with an inanimate object also. And then finally, suchal hasalem says the Al-Shef, that is the ultimate goal, lo sucha les alem, that we want you to get to that point where you instinctively feel that I can't ignore it. It's not just the Torah saying, again, don't ignore it. It's the Torah telling us, I want you to practice returning objects to the point that it will become so second nature, so instinctive, that you won't personally be able to overlook someone's lost object anymore. It's a very beautiful read in the Psukim, that the Torah is giving us this order of progression, so to speak. You know, you have to overcome that challenge the first time. Lo sira, don't see his animal, bisalantim hem, and ignore it. If you overcome that challenge the first time and you take care of it, then hashev tishivim, you do it once, you'll be able to do it again a second time. V'chein tasel l'simlasa, if you do it for his shor and his chamor, you'll eventually be able to do it for his inanimate objects also. And finally, the ideal, the Al-Shef reads in the psukim, is lo sucha l'sam, to get to that point where it's not a challenge for me anymore. I just can't see myself overlooking someone else's lost object anymore. Again, the idea being that we're supposed to develop this sensitivity for somebody else's property, so much so that, as the Al-Shef says, it's not even a challenge anymore. It's not even a question. How could I overlook somebody's lost property? I have that sensitivity for his money as much as I do for my own money. So that's how that's also quoted by Nachum Leibowitz in this discussion of raising one's sensitivity, one's concern for somebody else's. For somebody else's property. Okay. I think a similar idea is found in Rav Bergman's Sefer Shari Ora. Rav Bergman of Bnei Brak, Shiva's Rashbi, in his Sefer Shari Ora. And he has the following very interesting thought. If you look at Rashi on that pasuk, v'hisalanta, that you're not allowed to ignore someone's lost object. So Rashi says, what does v'hisalanta mean? You're not allowed to ignore it. Rashi says what it means is, when you see a lost object, you're not supposed to pretend as if you didn't see it. You're not supposed to pretend as if you didn't see it. So, according to Rashi, the meaning of the pasuk is, you know, you walk down the street, you see somebody's wallet on the street, and you pretend you didn't see it, keep on walking by. That's what the pasuk says you're not allowed to do. Rav Bergman suggests slightly differently as follows. He says, and he quotes this from his father-in-law, Rav Shach, who said the following. Rav Shach said numerous times that the goal or the most critical component of the mitzvah of Gemilas Chasadim, of Tzedakah, of Chesed, is not the act of giving Tzedakah itself, but there's a much more critical, more basic, preliminary mitzvah that is required of us when it comes to Tzedakah. And what does that say, Rav Shach? Even before the act of giving Tzedakah, the core mitzvah of Tzedakah, of Gemilas Chasadim, is to be able to sense or to see that someone is in need of tzedakah, is in need of chesed. So that's an even more basic, more critical component of the mitzvah of tzedakah. That you should see the ani. You should see a person in need. Why is there a need? Why is that the critical mitzvah? So, Bergman quotes, he says, it shines very simply, because it's so easy for people, you know, to physically see something or someone, but not to take it to heart. And so often we can see things, but not internalize them. And Rav Shach said that when it comes to tzedakah, the mitzvah of tzedakah ultimately is to take it to heart, that this person is in need of assistance, is in need of help, and then to act on that internalized realization, oh, my brother needs help. So, it doesn't make a difference. Meaning, however, it should be brought to your attention. But it's so easy to hear or to see something and just to like let it fly by. You know, the goal is to internalize it. You know, so you can hear a story on appeal about something, somebody who's in need, and yeah, you hear it goes in one ear out the other, or you know, feel bad for him and you keep on going. And the mitzvah says Rosh Hashanah is primarily to first not let it just go in and out or to go right past you, but to internalize it and to realize, wow, this person is really in need. And to feel the pain, to feel the need to help out. And then to act on that recognition that I have to help him out. So with that idea, which Rav Shach said with regard to tzedakah, for example, and to Gemilas Chasadim, so Rav Bergman applies that to our mitzvah here as well. He says, v'hisalamta mehem, l'such al hisalim, means that, yeah, you'll see it, but you have to internalize it. Shavas Aveda demands of us, first and foremost, to internalize that there is a need here that I can assist with. And that's what L'such al-Alam implies. And in general, he says that the idea here is, L'such al-Alam means the goal is to internalize the realization that, you know, my friend's property and his assets and his belongings should be just as much of a concern to me as my own. Because if I make that a reality, then I have fulfilled lo sucha les alim. Then I have internalized to the point that same way I wouldn't overlook $50 that I dropped on the floor, so too I can't overlook something worth $50 that someone else lost or dropped behind it. That again is the goal. It's not just, you know, to be proactively involved in helping someone else find his lost aveda, but it's to internalize the feeling that his nechasim, his property, are just as important to me as my own. So it's not just the action, but it's the feeling that we're saying now is critical. Okay, so humbly was stressing, based on Ramban and the drashas of Chazal, that you have to be proactively involved. It's the actions that we're stressing are critical, not just to be passive, but to be proactive. What Bergman is suggesting, based on Rav Shach's thoughts, is that it's even more basic than that. Yeah, you have to be proactive. That only flows as a result, or from the ability to internalize and to feel the need to care for somebody else's nechasim as much as I care for myself and for my own. Now, just continuing that train of thought, saw a fascinating vort from Rav Yaakov Filber, Hesef Hachem Das Yami. Again, along these same lines, Losuchal Hesale. The Torah is stressing, don't ignore someone else's lost aveda, someone else's lost property. So, why would I naturally be inclined to ignore someone else's aveda? So the simplest explanation is, well, you know, it's time. I'm lazy, I don't have to deal with it. It's time, it's effort, why should I bother? However, he takes this step further. He says that even if I might have, you know, a so-called religious, you know, religious excuse, it's not just my time that I don't want to waste, it's, you know, I want to learn. I want to focus on other valid pursuits, you know, ruchnius pursuits. Even when my time that I don't want to waste is being allotted to pursuits that are ruchnius in nature, it's not just I don't miss the ball game. No, I go to the base matters and I learn. Still, you have a mitzvah losucha l'sale. And he quotes a beautiful shot from the Chafetz Chaim to illustrate this point, that even when I might justify my interest in ignoring an aveda on the basis of, well, you know, I have more important things to do that are also religious in nature, still there's an issur of losucha l'sale. He has a very fascinating shot from the Chafetz Chaim that he quotes. It's a remarkable shot because the Chafetz Chaim basically takes three different psukim in Parshas Ekev, which we've seen time and again, and you know, every time I saw it, you know, I just, you know, didn't pay attention to the diuk which he picks up on. Fascinating, fascinating insight. In Parshas Ekev, there are three psukim which the Chafetz Chaim points to. In the very beginning of Parshas Ekev, Perek Ches Pasuk Vav, Pasuk says, "Vishamarta es mitzvos Hashem Elokecha." You should guard God's mitzvos. To walk in God's path and to fear Him. Okay, two things: walk in His path and fear Him. Okay, it seems like a pasuk that, you know, comes up numerous times in that parsha, which it does, because two prakim later in Parsha Ekev Perek Yud Pasuk Yud Beis, there the pasuk says Yud Yud Beis. Pasuk says, "Vatay Yisrael, now Israel, Moha Hashem Alakecha Shoel Meimach." What is God asking of you? "Kiyim liyiras Hashem Alakecha," to fear God, "Alachas Bechol Derachav," to go in His ways, "Ula Ahava Oso," and to love Him. Seems like just same thing all over again. What were the two psukim? First pasuk was, "Vishamartas Mitzvos Hashem Alakecha," you should guard God's mitzvos, "Alachas Bedrachav Ula Yir Oso," to walk in His ways and fear Him. What's the next pasuk? What does God ask of you? To walk in His ways and to love Him. Right? Just like the same thing all over again. This is what I thought when I saw it. And the Chafetz Chaim yet notes the following fascinating phenomenon. He says, look at the two psukim carefully. What's the difference? Those two psukim. What's the difference in those two psukim? First pasuk, Perek Ches, pasuk Vav says, "Vishamartas mitzvos Hashem Elokecha," guard God's mitzvos, "Valachas bedrachav ula yir oso," to walk in His ways and fear Him. Second pasuk says, what does God ask of you? "Kiyim liyiras Hashem Elokecha," to fear God, "Valachas bechol derachav," to walk in His ways, "Ula ahava oso," to love Him. So he says, there's a switch. In the first pasuk it says, first, walk in God's ways and fear Him. In the next pasuk it says, the second pasuk it says, "Kim liyiras Hashem Elokecha," fear God, "Valachas bechol derachav," to go in His ways, "Ula ahava oso," to love Him. So why the flip? Why in the first pasuk does it say, walk in His ways, fear Him? And next pasuk, the second pasuk we quoted, it says, fear God, walk in His ways, and love Him. Right? I saw these psukim, I figured, okay, same idea, you know, big deal. So no, why does the Torah flip it? And then he quotes a third pasuk, also in Parshas Ekev, and the third pasuk says the following. In the third pasuk, hold on. Third pasuk in Perek Yud Aleph pasuk Chafes says the following. Yud Aleph Yud Beis says, sorry, at Perek Yud Aleph Chafes. Yud Aleph Chafes, and also in Ekev, says the following. Kim Shamor Tishmur and Espo Mitzvah Zos, if you keep the mitzvah that I'm commanding you, Le'ahava Es Hashem Elokeichem, to love God, Le'lachas Bechol Derechav, to walk in His ways, Le'dafkabo, and to cling to Him. So what happens in this pasuk? La'ava Hashem Elokeichem, Le'lachas Bechol Derechav, Le'dafkabo. To love God, walk in His ways, and cling to Him. So what happens here? The first pasuk was walk in God's ways, fear Him. Second pasuk was fear God, walk in His ways, love Him. Third pasuk is love God, walk in His ways, cling to Him. So what happened? First pasuk, lechas b'chol derechav. Here it is. First pasuk is lechas b'chol derechav, followed by yira. Okay. Second pasuk, yira first, lechas b'chol derechav, and then ava. Third pasuk is ahava, lalachas b'chol derechav, and then dveikus, ladavka bo.
So commonality is walking.
In all three pasukim, it says lalachas b'chol derechav, right? But
in different order.
But the order is switched in each pasuk. The first pasuk is lalachas b'chol derechav, followed by yira.
Right.
Second pasuk is
yira,
lalachas b'chol derechav, followed by ava. Third pasuk is ava, followed by lechas b'chol derechav, and dveikus, ladavka bo. So, again, I saw these pesukim and I figured, okay, it's all the same idea, it's all the same stuff. Big deal. You know, combination is a combination. Who cares how you say it? So Chofetz Chaim had a beautiful pshat. He said, no. The Torah is intentionally moving the order of the lechas b'chol derechav in each of these three pesukim. Why? So he said there's three madregas in Avodas Hashem. They're serving God from yira, from fear. That's when I'm doing the right thing and I don't want to be punished. I want to get schar. That's yira. A higher madrega is doing mitzvahs from what? From ava, because I love God. You know, every so often I'm inspired by an ava Hashem to do another mitzvah. And the highest of those three madregas, says the Chofetz Chaim, is dveikus, when there is a constant attachment to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, three madregas. Yira is the basic one. I'm afraid of God, so I do mitzvahs, I don't do averus. Ava is a higher level. I love God, so I do mitzvahs because He wants me to do mitzvahs. And the highest madrigal of those three is dveikus, where I'm constantly connected to Him in the most intimate way. So Chofetz Chaim has a beautiful, beautiful pshat. He says, in the first pasuk it says, walk in His ways and fear Him. In the next pasuk it says, fear Him, walk in His ways, love Him. The third pasuk it says, love Him, walk in His ways, and dveikus, cling to Him, ladavka bo. So what's happening? What? It's ascending order. And each pasuk, lalechas b'chol derechav, is before the next madrega. Right? First pasuk in 8:6 says, walk in His ways, fear Him. The second pasuk in 10:12 says, fear Him, walk in His ways, and love Him. And the third pasuk in 11:22 says, love Him, walk in His ways, and dveikus, cling to Him. So Chofetz Chaim has a beautiful pshat. He says that the Torah is teaching us that as we work on our avodas Hashem, improving our religious observance, and we try to ascend that ladder from first attaining fear of God. So how do I attain fear of God? So the first pasuk says, walk in His ways and fear Him. Meaning, the only way to get to Yiras Hashem is if you first model yourself after God's actions. Which the Gemara Sutta says, God is Mevaker Chola, you have to be Mevaker Chola. God does this kind of chesed, does that kind of chesed. We have to model ourselves after God's chasadim in interacting with other people in order to attain that madrega of fear of God. So the first pasuk says, I want you to walk in God's ways and fear Him. Meaning, by walking in His ways, by emulating His chasadim, then we'll be able to fear Him. What happens next? Okay, so now I've gotten yira. I'm serving God out of fear. I want to climb the ladder to ahava. So again, the pasuk says, Chofetz Chaim tells us, in the second pasuk, what does God ask of you? Fear God, that you have already. Walk in His ways and love Him. You want to get to Ava? Once again, it's only going to happen if you still emulate God's chasadim. You still are holich bedrachav. You still do what He does. God helps clothe the needy. He helps feed the hungry. He helps visit the sick. He's menachem avel. You've got to do all of that, not just for Yira, but for the second level of Ava also. Then comes the third pasuk and says, what does God want you to do? To love God, walk in His ways, and cling to Him. Dveikus. Even when one reaches the highest level of Dveikus, what is needed for that also? Once again, the same thing. More of the same. More halucha bedrachav. More of emulating God's chesed. And the Chofetz Chaim then clinches it. He says, because I might think that once I have Yiras Hashem, and I'm striving for Avas Hashem, or once I have Avas Hashem, and I'm striving for Dveikus Hashem, I might think the holier I get, so the more I should seclude myself from interacting with others and focus only exclusively on the celestial spheres and my own personal avodas Hashem, and that's it, to the exclusion of all others. So Chofetz Chaim says that's why the Torah stresses each pasuk. No matter what madrega you're striving for, whether it's Yira, whether it's Ava, whether it's Dveikus, each one must be preceded by and can only be attained through Lalachas Bedrachav, to walk in His ways. So Filber, quoting this idea of the Chofetz Chaim, says, Losucha Lasalim, even if I'm going to be inclined to ignore somebody's Aveda, because I've got so many holier things to do with my time than to help pick up somebody's chicken and hold on to it until he comes to claim it, Losucha Lasalim, no. Doesn't matter what madrega you're at, whether you're up to Yira, Ava, Dveikus, no matter how holy you think you should be, and how holy your pursuits are, but it can't come at the exclusion of helping others, because that's halicha bedrachav, that's walking God's way, that's doing what God does. And that is a necessary prerequisite for any madrega in one's avodas Hashem. Very, very fascinating, Pshat of Chofetz Chaim, and applied very nicely by Rav Yaakov Filber to this mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Yeah?
Shouldn't the Yira be there without following you? There should be
what?
The sense of Yira shouldn't be a need to follow Hashem through the whole sense of Yira. It's an innate characteristic you have.
Okay, so you're saying the most basic level of Avodas Hashem Yira, why is that only accessible through Halicha Bedrachav?
Right.
Interesting question. Yeah, go ahead.
If you don't know who a person is, you can't fear them.
That's interesting.
Okay. Think about it. Somebody you take a little life, comes upon a great rabbi. Does he have any fear? He doesn't know who he is.
Nice chat. You're saying only through emulating God's chesed can you come to appreciate a little bit as to what you're supposed to be looking up to or appreciating or fearing.
I think the opposite though. Once you try and emulate, you're going to develop less fear, more straight to the level of love. It's not going to
We try to emulate and you see how far you are from doing what God does. That also inspires awe. Yira really means awe. It doesn't mean just fear. It means awe.
Everyone's different.
Right, but I'm saying, I think if you translate Yira to be more awe than fear, which is the more accurate translation, then at least Abdullah will inspire awe first. Right, okay, good. Right, okay, good. Finally, okay, so we've discussed so far the simple understanding of this pesukim, Hashavas Aveda, and how the goal of the mitzvah is to be proactively involved in caring for somebody else's property, to reach that point where it's not a challenge anymore, I'm naturally inclined to help out, to internalize that feeling where I instinctively feel as much care and concern for somebody else's property as I do for my own. And now we find, just the concluding part of the shir, we find in a number of mefarshim a less than literal take on this mitzvah as well. So, for example, an extension of this idea. Abbeinu Bechaya writes, he says that this mitzvah of losucha lesalim is not just by Hashavas Aveda. Rather, he says, the same din applies to any benefit that I can provide a friend of mine, or to any ability that I have to prevent him from suffering financial loss in any way whatsoever, there as well of Sucha Lis'alim. I can't ignore it. It's not just lost objects. It's any time I'm in a position to help somebody in any which way. He says, Shor to'olos, any other benefit I can provide, or form of assistance I can provide somebody else, in any way, or in any way I can prevent somebody else from suffering a loss, the same chiyuv of lo sucha l'sa'am applies. Because it's all predicated, he says, on the sense of brotherhood. V'hafta recha kamocha. Like we said from Rav Bergman, feeling as much for him as I feel for myself. So then it's not just limited to Shabbos Aveda. It's in any way that I can be of assistance to somebody else, I can express that brotherhood, that unity, that care and concern for him, like I would want to express it for myself as well. In later Sfarim, both in the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, in the Chasam Sofer Al HaTorah, in the Sfas Emes, we find one final idea, and that is that Chazal speak of the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda not just in terms of returning lost objects, but in terms of one's physical safety as well. Chazal say, you know, the chiyuv to be matzal nefesh, the chiyuv to save somebody's life. Where does it come from? So there's one issue of Salam Adam Reyecha, you can't stand by while someone else is dying. But Chazal, he went to Hedge, the Chaim Gimel says that there's a chiyuv of hashavas aveda with regard to one's guf as well. If you can provide, maintain someone's physical safety, so the same way I have a chiyuv to return a lost object, certainly I have a chiyuv to maintain his own physical safety. Hashavas gufa. But in Sasemes, in the Chasam Sofer, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, we find that this is extended further to the Ruchnius world as well. They all say, and they all interpret the pasuk of Kisira Shor Achicha Oseyo Nidachin. You see somebody's shore, somebody's set wandering or astray, they interpret this to mean in the Ruchnius sense as well. When you see somebody moving astray in terms of one's Avodas Hashem, you see a Jew who is going off the beaten path, so to speak, doing what he should not be doing or not doing what he should be doing. So there as well, the same idea, say the Chasam Sofer or Chaim HaKadosh Sfas Emes, applies the Hisalamta Mehem, that you're not allowed to ignore such a spiritual need either. And rather, Hashem Tishivim L'Achicha, you're supposed to try to restore that Jew to where he should be at, or where he used to be at, or where he could be at. And even if lo karva chicha elacha, even if he's not close to you, meaning no matter how far off this Jew might be, basaftol toch beisecha, bring him closer. Teach him. Try to inspire him. Vahashevosalo, and ultimately try to return him back to what he really should be at. And lo sucha les alim means you can't give up hope on any Jew, no matter how far the Jew might be. Lo sucha les alim. So the Pnei Menachem, the Sfas Emes' grandson, previous Ger Rebbe, says that same Joshua mentioned earlier, Hashav Tishivim, even numerous times you have to return a lost object, applies here as well. Comes to Ruchnius also. The effort might be, you know, more than just once. You know, outreach can be, you know, a repeating process. You have to try numerous times to help inspire somebody. But same idea applies, it says. Hashav Tishivim, even many, many times, one has the obligation in a Ruchnius sense as well to assist or to try to makarev another Jew. And finally, the Sfas Emes writes something very interesting. And he says that this idea of Hashavas Aveda in the Ruchnius sense is not just trying to, you know, do kiruv. You see somebody who is off a little bit from the Derech HaYosha, so you try proactively to be makarev him a little bit. Sfas Emes writes the following, very fascinating thoughts. He quotes the Svarim HaKadoshim, he quotes the Arizal, that if somebody sees a fault in another Jew, the fact that I saw it means that I have the ability to somehow assist him in being misaken it. How, says the Sfas Emes? Even by me working on myself in that area, I see somebody who's constantly doing something wrong. So if I myself work on myself in perfecting my own Avodas Hashem in that particular area, that itself, says the Sfas Emes, according to Arizal, will ultimately be of benefit to this individual as well. Because if he's lacking a certain area of Avodas Hashem, and I happen to see it, that, says Arizal, means that I can provide a tikkun by working on myself in that area for that individual as well. And by working on myself to bring about this tikkun, by doing tshuva in that area for myself personally, that will enable that person as well to be inspired somehow to do tshuva for that particular chet that you saw. And so that ultimately is perhaps something that everybody has that ability to do. L'sucha l'sala, never to ignore a chet we see in somebody else. Not just because sometimes I have the opportunity to give, you know, well-received tochacha, but even just simply not to ignore it by not reacting personally in my own life. That also says the Sivas HaMes is critical, that to try to misakin in my own avodas Hashem, something that I see in somebody else that is wrong, that itself would be a benefit to enable him to have an inspiration to do tshuva for that particular chet that you saw was lacking. And finally, we'll end with this. Sfas Emes says, the same way the Psukim tell us that lo sucho les alem, hashev teshivein, vashev oso lo, that by not ignoring a fault that we see in somebody else, that ultimately leads to him being able to do tshuva. Sfas Emes says, kol shekin, certainly, that same idea can be applied to one's own self. Lo sucho les alem, not to ignore something that we see in our own selves that is in need of tikkun, in need of improvement. The same way we said earlier, that the goal of Losucha L'Salam is not just to see it, but to internalize it, and to take it to heart, that something needs to be done, when it comes to my own Avodas Hashem as well, same idea holds true. That Losucha L'Salam, I shouldn't just overlook it and let it go in and out, or just bypass me. But rather, when I see something that I myself need to fix up, need to improve upon, I can't ignore it, and if I'm successful, says the Sfas Emes, in not ignoring and not overlooking my own faults, but in recognizing that I need to improve in that particular area, then ultimately Hashem Tishivim Lachicha Vashev Osalo will be successful in improving that area of our own Avodas Hashem as well. Wonderful night, everyone. Sorry? Right.